Loads of people, I'll have the war marker on a team is a bit at the end, the loads of gloominess. Send the Tolo, there is an issue of Baltosif and Baltigra. Not to add on, and not to subtract from the mistress. And here we will see there is fascinating material as to precisely what these Isurim are. Let us begin, as the Rambam says, about Rashi, Lo Mishpach HaBachoro. Let's begin with Rashi. Lo so see, we're not allowed to add. Said Rashi, Kagon, Chomesh Parshiyot Tachfilin, instead of putting in four Parshiyot in the Twilin, a person puts in five, Chameshes Minim Feluliv, a person puts in five kinds instead of four, Lulivestri Hadassim Arnoldo, Chomesh Titsiyot, instead of putting in four strands doubled over, he puts in five, the chain lo sigru, and likewise lo sigru would mean three and three and three. So as far as Rashi is concerned, the Isra of Baltosis is only a prohibition against meddling with the internal details of a mitzvah. That's it. You're not allowed to put in an extra part in the filling. You're not allowed to put in an extra mean into the lulav and etzim. You're not allowed to put an extra thread into the sitio. All to do with meddling with the internal functioning of a particular mitzvah. Move now to page Yud Gimel Pasukav. And just keep your hand there because we'll be moving up and down between these two things. Yud Gimel Pasukav. There's the problem. Eis kol ha-dobor ha-kel ha-lokim et zaveh et-sechem o-sol tishmeru la-asom lo-sol seifolos v'lo sigrav imen. Whatever I command you, you shall not add to it, and you shall not subtract. Rashi. Lo-sol seifolos chamishot kotobos mitzvilik hei minin belulim Arba brachos bevirchas kohanim. Rashi is still maintaining that irrespective of the fact that the Isurim are repeated a second time, they still refer only to meddling with the internal functions of a mitzvah. Not at all. Another part in the turn, etc., etc. But of course, as we all have noticed immediately, Rashi has added on a new one. Four brachos in Birchas Kohanim instead of the three. Says the masculine dogged as follows. The reason why Rashi is adding on a new one is because, A, Rashi is convinced at the moment that the only issue in Baltosif and Baltigra is against meddling with the internal functions of a mitzvah. However, we might have thought, had this particular issue only been mentioned once, we might have concluded as follows, that I am not allowed to put in five partios into the spirit, because after all, I only wear one set, and if I wear them with the wrong number of partios, the whole mitzvah's bottled. Or, if I put five sitios doubled over into the garment, I'm doing the mitzvah the wrong way. Or, if I take five minim in my hand instead of four, I'm doing the mitzvah the wrong way. So I have to be told, if you do it the wrong way, it's no good. But I might have thought, when the Torah tells me that the Kohen has to give the brachos of Yivarechetov, Yoer, and Yisor, I might have thought that there is no problem whatsoever in adding on another bracha, because the Meister, I have given the three what I was told to give. I said Yivarechetov, I said Yoer, I said Yisor, So I might have thought that you cannot compare that to the case when I put on one pair of tefillin with the wrong number of parshiyot in it, because there the etzem chetz of the mitzvah is possible. But here, where I am adding on a new bracha after I have already given the first three, you might have thought that there is no issue of baltosius in that particular action. Therefore, I have to be told no, that even in such a context, it is the whole matzav of Birchas Kohanim, which joins everything together, and having four brachos for Birchas Kohanim is the same as having five parshiyot in my tefillin. Now, it is important to note, again I emphasize, that for Rashi, the prohibition contained in lo so sifu and lo so seif is against meddling with the internal functionings of a particular mitzvah in the proper. The Ramban says that I believe that the Isra of Baltosi includes not only meddling with the internal functioning of a particular mitzvah as outlined by Rashi, but even were a person to add on a new mitzvah and to insist that this new mitzvah has the status of a Torah mitzvah, he would also be over on both mitzvahs. So Baltosiv, therefore, is not merely meddling with the internal functioning of a mitzvah, but Baltosiv, according to the Ramban, includes adding on a new mitzvah and giving it Torah status. Now those few words that I mentioned at the end are most crucial, because the Ramban says, you will say to me, if you're not allowed to add on a mitzvah, so how have the rabbis been adding on all mitzvahs since time immemorial, siyogin, gedoyin, you name it? The answer is, says the Ramban, because first of all, there's a mitzvah to listen to the rabbi. Number two, he says, that when the rabbis add on their new mitzvahs, they don't confuse people by suggesting that the new mitzvahs that they are on are Torah mitzvahs. They let everybody know that they are mitzvah rabbonah. And therefore, once they let the people know that they are mitzvah rabbonah, there is no problem with it. So, we have now, according to the Ramban, two isurim in Baltosi. One is to add on the particular details, the meddling with the functioning of the mitzvah, and the other is to add on an actual mitzvah. What I want to do now is to show you how Pshuto shall Likra, what happens amongst the Mephoshim. The Vilna Gaon suggests that the reason why there are twice mentioned the Yisurim of Baltosif and Baltira is because one occasion in which Hanan is mentioned is referring to the adding on of a new mitzvah, ala Ramban, and in Parshas Re'eh, the Isra of Baltosif is against meddling with the internal functioning of the mitzvah. Now, how does he prove it? Well, let's take Hanan first, and then we'll go on to the A. Dalet Beis is with Hanan, Yudjim and Aleph is with A. Says the God, you know how you discover which is which? The answer is you have to approach it contextually. See in which context Lososiku is found, and see in which context Lososate is found. Pay it Dalet Portugal. Viato Yisrael, and now Israel, Shema el Hakukim, Zer Amishpatim. Listen to the statutes and judgments which I am giving you. Lo so sifu al adom and asher anoshu mitzav et sechem, v'lo sifu minem. And concerning those Hakukim, and those Mishpatim, which are in the plural, don't add on, and don't subtract. So from the fact that the first Isur of Lo So Sifu is preceded by the word Shema El Hachukim, the El HaMishpatim, the plural, implies therefore that the Lo So Sifu is referring to adding on new mitzvos to the Chukim and Mishpatim, which have already been mentioned. Now let's go to Yukim and Hosagal. Says the Gaon, it reads like this. Eis kol hadavar, in reference to every single mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavei esechem, concerning which I am commanding you, lo so sefer lo velo sigram yinem. So in connection with each individual kodomor, don't add on and don't subtract. Says the Gaon, that is the issue against meddling with the internal functioning of the system. Now, the Ksav the Kabbalah and the Rebbe Tzadik HaKohen in his Tshuvas Reishis Tikkunim agrees with the Gaon, but for a different reason. He notes that in Tzvartes Moes Hanan, the prohibition is in the plural, lo so sifu, and in Parshas Re'eh, the prohibition is the Lashon Yachid in the singular. Says the Ksav the Kabbalah and the Rebbe Tzadik HaKohen. Who is the person most likely to want to meddle with the intricate details of a particular mitzvah? The individual. So therefore, the individual is told, lo so safe for love, lo sigrani meddle. Don't meddle when you're doing a mitzvah. Don't meddle, do it properly. Who are the people whom we would assume are capable of adding on new mitzvahs to the Torah? The Sanhedrin Agol, a body of people. Therefore, they are being addressed in the plural, because they represent a body of no less than 71 Rabbonim, Dayonim, and therefore, says the Rashi Tikkurim and the Ksav HaKabbalah, we agree with the Gaon, but for different reasons. We say that the reason why Lo So Sifu applies to adding on a new mitzvah is because it's in the plural and is addressed to an august body, whereas the Lo So Sefer of Parshas Re'eh, which is in the singular, is addressed to each individual who is being told not to meddle with the mitzvah. What becomes most fascinating is that the Netziv of the Lordim, without mentioning it, but invoking a cloud of the Vilna Gaon in Parshas Nitzavim, comes to the exact opposite conclusion. Because the Gaon says in Parshas Nitzavim, Shebeloshen Rabbi Nemar, Vekoy al kol yochid de yochid, Vahashaniyo beloshen yochid Nemar, Vuhu al kal yitzoel piyecho. Says the Gaon, we have a cloud in Parshas Nitzavim, that whenever the singular is used, it refers to the entire nation as a unit. And whenever the plural is used, it refers to individuals. Says in its team, therefore I am moved to suggest that lo so sifu is the prohibition addressed to the individual not to meddle with the mitzvah. Because when it's written in the plural in Sefer Devarim, it's referring to individuals. And individuals shouldn't meddle with the actual mitzvah. Lo so sefer in Parshas Re'eh, which is written in the singular, refers either to the people or to their representative, which is the Sanhedrin Hagodah. And therefore, they are being told, and they are being addressed in the singular, obviously not to add on a unit. Now, what is fascinating is that the Nesid's position is totally in agreement with the Rambam. So the Rambam writes like this. Remember what the Nesid's position is. That the Lo So Sifu has to do with meddling with the internal functionings of the mitzvah. And the fact that it's in the plural means it's addressed to every individual. Whereas the Parsha Re'eh of Lo So Sefer is being addressed to the Sanhedrin Agadol, whom we would assume are the only ones who have the ability to add or subtract from the corpus of mitzvos and events. Says the Rambam, Ein hakohanim rashoim b'chol makom lehosif brocho al shelotis hatukim. Kohanim are not allowed to add on another brocho to birchat kohanim. Shenemar lo so sifu. So you see here that adding on a new bracha, which is an internal item, is forbidden according to the Rambam from lo so sifu. And when the Rambam says, where do I know that you're not allowed to add on a new mitzvah? He says, because the prophet says, lo so sifu lo, lo sigram imenu, tzukim in re'eh. So what we have at the moment is as follows. According to the dawn, it's contextual. That's why the dawn took no notice of his plow. Later on in Parsha speaks of it. Because had he taken notice of his plow, he would have come to exactly the opposite conclusion. But since it says Shema Lachukim V'Yelam Mishpotim, the plural, the implication is that the Yisrael of Balzotim there was to add on an Yisrael. Whereas in Eskol Adova, which was in the singular, the implication was to add on in the internal functioning of the Yisrael. Then we have the suggestion of the Ksava Kavola and the Meshit Bikurim, who agreed to shitter with the Gaon, but say that the reason is not like the Gaon, but the fact that one is in the plural addressed to the body of Sanhedrin, and the other is in the singular address to each individual. And then you have the Netziv, and by extension the Rambam, who insist that whenever the singular is used, it refers to the entire nation or its representatives, and whenever the plural is used, it refers to the actual individual. Says the Rabbis, the Yeshaya Psalm, in his Beis Elohim, his famous Beis, he says, the Iker prohibition of Baltosif and Baltigra is in Torah Sheba'alteh. We have Torah Shebichtav, and its oral interpretation, which was handed down, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Yisina, the Torah Yoshua, etc., is the authentic interpretation of Torah Shebichtav as handed down by word of mouth. Says the Mabis, it makes sense that the real prohibitions of Baltosif and Baltigra are directed against meddling with Torah Shebichtav. Why? Because there's no need to warn people not to meddle with Torah Shebichtav, because everybody can see what's written in the Torah. Apart from which, says the Mabit, if you look at the language, Eiskol Adover Asher Anokhi Mitzaveh Eskem, the Rambam says that the word Mitzaveh in that pasuk, and the Rambam himself quoted in his Hakdamah to Mishnah Torah, the word Mitzaveh refers to Torah Shebichtav. And of course, the famous source of where we know that the word tzav, mitzvah, mitzaveh, is related to Torah Shebichtav, is from the Gemara in Brachos in Daf Hei Amud Aleph, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ve'etno lecho et haTorah v'haMitzvah." HaTorah, says the Gemara, do Torah Shebichtav, v'haMitzvah do Torah Shebichtav. So the main warning, says the Mabit, is against meddling with Torah Shebichtav, because as far as Torah Shebichtav is concerned, there is not the same urgency, because everybody can see what is written down in the text, and therefore the chances of getting away with distorting what is written in the Torah is very minimal. So here we have a bit of an insight into what the Isulim and what the Inyonim of Baltosif and Baltigra are all. What I'd like to do now is to move on to a very beautiful thought. I could have said it over Baltair, but it's so rarely that I have an opportunity to bring something in writing to your attention from the cut of your letter. Genius of a man. We move on from Baltus, and we move on to take it, Dalit. Baltus, up to you. Look what a man does with a bottle. He was too clever, this man. They say that they came rushing into the base of Medrash. Just a bunch of, know who he was. He was the original non-Hasidic Rebbe. And it is possible. They came into the yeshiva because it was an edict from the government that they weren't allowed to wear the shlaimah with the kapotah. And they came running into the Kotzker Rebbe in the Beis HaMedrash, which when the edict was announced, and they say, they're not letting us wear our Yiddish in the government. And the Kotzker Rebbe gave a bang on the Beis HaMedrash table, and he said, "Mir hoven not fair Yiddish in the government, callous and silly." Nice to put things into perspective once in a while. Very nice. Very, very important. "Mir hoven not fair Yiddish in the government, callous and silly." Let's have a look at the problem. Yishomrumochem, beware, pen tishkechu es berit Hashem Elokechem, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Good English. Asher parashim ochem, which he has made you. Vachisem lochem, esel demunasko. And you will make, in other words, if you forget the covenant, you will make for yourselves a graven image. Asher,
which the Lord has commanded you. The God has commanded you to make a graven image.
So that you have to work very hard. So that you said, Asher, see what the Lord has commanded you to make a graven image.
Okay.
Let's have a look at the Yohan's home. Custer. Vahajituk Yodua. The problem in grammar is well known. Shahoyo Lahakosov Lomar, because the apostle should have said in regards to you will make for yourself a graven image, Asher Stoneya Kemalokesh, which the Almighty hates. Or, Asher, don't see the Lord Hashem Elokecha, which I got his brother never commanded you to do. The Rashi Zalviyem is Nidchat Lefarish, and Rashi had to work hard of the Kosher Rebbe, and he had to explain Asher Sivach Asher Lola. Over in a day, Ochein Hoyikar Chosem in a state, if it's like Rashi says, then the major word is missing from the text. So what does the Chosem mean? Then the Kosher Rebbe, Veneer Omar, it appears to me that the explanation of these words are, Ki Indian Peser Utsaluna. What is a Peser? What is a Tsaluna? It is Tsiyur, a physical representation, Utsamuna Hadobar, and a replica, She'eino Etsem Hadobar Ramish. It's something which resembles externally something else which it is the image of. That's what a Peser and a Tsmuna is. By the Tsmuna was a shape. With Tsmuna was really a shape of something. So a Peser and Tsmuna are physical shapes which are not the real thing, but which are physical representations of the real thing. See that? The Zos Hisiru Asaru. That's what the Torah is warning us against. Shenishmo or Mila Sos Min Hadavorim Asher Tsimapo Hashem Elokecha Peser. Don't turn the mitzvos into form without substance. Don't turn a mitzvah into institution without inspiration. Don't turn it into externalia without essence. This is what the Torah says. You get a mitzvah, and the outer trappings are there. Physically, it resembles a mitzvah. Oh, it's not this chain time. The Jitzei Karkosov, the Tema, Peser. Aye, the Torah has brought over this message that I'm suggesting the Torah is giving you in very harsh language. The Hoir, in order to warn the Jew, the Yitzhi and Maisa Avodoto, Bilti Kavona Hanikeres, that if a person goes through the motions of the mitzvah, but without any feeling whatsoever, who teal God of the Ene Hashem, it is as despised by Hashem to move Peser to Muna shall be the Torah. That's very major. Very major. So the words of trapping, the words of Sfiro, without the feeling, the performance of the mitzvah, without the Kavanah. We're going through the motions. It's all there. We have it outside, but it's the outside without the inside. So therefore, Vahasisa Lochem Peser to Muna. You're going to make a Peser and a Tsmuna out of Kol Asher Tzivach Hashem. Everything that I thought is possible. Only Kotzer can ever resist. That's very strong. And he says it's a Pshat. He's not suggesting it as a homiletic. It's a Pshat. So this is the comment that he makes. Let us now move on. Let's say this. Just take two to the Yavlini. He's got me born with a name on. Okay? What's the Kope? Hey, God, what's the Kope? See how the people learn Kumish. I bought the Kope. Va'avada dem shom, you're going to go into gold. Va'avada dem shom, elehim ma'asdei yedei odom. And there you are going to worship God, the creation of man. Eighth heaven of wood and stone. Asher lo yirun which can't see, velo yishmun and can't hear, velo yachun and can't eat, velo yirichun and can't smell. to be Kashem Rishon, and you will seek from there as Hashem Elokei for the Lord your God you must also, and you will find Kisei Rishon v'chol levav v'chol levav Hashem when you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Says the God, when we are speaking about an idol, we're saying here it doesn't see, it doesn't hear, it doesn't eat, and it doesn't smell. When we bless one else, we know it from Hallel. Atzavei and Keter Zom Asyidahem, Tera Hemeroyilavayiru. And it's missing. Why doesn't it say here, Velayidavlum? Says the Gong, because these two psukim are an allusion to an event which took place later on in our history. Nebuchadnezzar wanted Daniel to bow down to his idol. And Daniel refused. Nebuchadnezzar had brought with him all the Canaan from the Beit Hamikdash. And he brought with him the seat which was worn by the Kohen Gadol, on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name was written. And he put the seat into the idol's mouth, and the seat and the idol began to speak. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, bow down to my idol because it speaks. And Daniel said to the king, before I bow down, I am so enamored with the words that I'm hearing from this idol that I would like to kiss the idol. And the book of Nebuchadnezzar said, you may, of course. He went up to the idol and he said to the shame homophobic in the idol, I am going to run you to come out with me. And he kissed the idol and he took with him the shame homophobic into his mouth and the idol crumbled in front of everybody's eyes.
You will be, there will be a time when you will be called upon to worship God. Ma'aseyeh de'yodon, the works of wood and stone. Asher al-yiru, they don't see. Below yishmu, they don't hear. Below yishmu, they don't eat. Below yishmu, they don't smell. But they speak.
But you know what you have to do when you hear them speaking? Who be kash them, yisham et Hashem alokem. You got to look for the shame on the throne of stuff. Who matzasa. And you'll find it. But for that, you need to see the snapper. She just woke up to the king and said, excuse me, sir. He said, the channel was called the lower. The man learned the fuck about the Amedish and Shira Shir. That's the goal. Something special. What I want to do now is to move on to an essay which is contained in the writings of Rakach. Some of the other people, I think they asked me, he told me a story about somebody was going around asking, who do you make a bracha on Shekholach Mekachbot or Liyareya? Who is a big enough Talmud Chacham that you make a bracha on Shekholach Mekachbot or Liyareya, which is an authentic bracha? So they just said, suggested, well, no, I can't. You don't make it on him. Somebody else, not him either. So he says, for a shach, do you make a bracha? No. For a shach, the bracha is Shekholach Mekachbot or Liyareya. I only mentioned it as a I want to present to you, my friends, something very, very new. And that's the Gidrei Ho'emunah. That's the first apostle in the Aseret HaDibros. And it is known as Mitzvah Emunah, the Mitzvah to have faith. Now follow what he says. It is absolutely fabulous. Hine me'yozu mitzonin toyisi mitzvah. For a long time I've always wondered, lomo mitzanin le mitzvah zu emunah. Why do we describe the mitzvah of believing in God as faith? Implying it has no rational basis. Is it not axiomatic that there is a God in the world? The world couldn't exist without control. When we look at our own bodies, how everything is designed, how everything is shaped and functions, can only be because there is a designer. The Hachmah and the Lord, the Chodyitzur Chodom, Eila Havik. And even the smallest sight of a fly, the delicacy, the way everything is composed and in place, you can't even possibly imagine. When we cultivate, that rock will be a sin after Adam. The creation of man himself will be the point to the fact that there is a creator that can't be haphazard. You can't throw things together and give it a million years and it turns out the way you see the can't work. It's not a leap of faith. You don't have to go beyond the logic. It's all there. The eight abstracts are called Zehubilomani. The Harehor Rambam Hanal Kosav, the Rambam himself acknowledges that the Mitzvah is at the beginning of Mishnah Torah, Leidai Hashem. To recognize God through a process of logic, of deduction. The Rambam calls it a Mitzvah to know God. To acknowledge his presence by means of mental calculation. Ubakosum Neamar, and in our part in West Hanan, state the Yadato Hayom, the Ashevosuel of Ephesia, Hashem, who are those who that. You've got to know, it's something that you are capable of deducing logically. The Lomo Zen Nikro Emuna. And why is it called a Mitzvah of Faith? Ubasevra Mitzvah, the Mitzvah Wallace, in the Sevra Mitzvah that is true. Kosav, it's written, Tibur Yashir Tivor Bahamon Asher Elohim. The Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvah that the Mitzvah is Emunah, to have faith, but in the Mitzvah Torah he says the Mitzvah is Yediyah. So Rav Tzach is suggesting that there is a contradiction here. In the one hand, the Rambam seems to be indicating that to appreciate the presence of God in the world is possible through logic. And elsewhere, the Rambam is suggesting that it is only possible through faith, which is something that you cannot prove, but you have to have faith that it's there. We shall all be as those the moron hagon hagon release of days for the Veshika. I asked the Belbo. The Omari and the Belbo said to me, Shigambu Omar al Zed. He also had that fire. The show all those the Ovid hagon will hide. But he asked them, Chaim for the Veshika. As far as Lithuanians are concerned, maybe you can't get that. He asked the Belbo. The Belbo said he asked them, Chaim. And that's it. We struck out. The Omalo, look at the answer. You. The Omalo, the kind of the bill. Shevadai atamor se seichel ho odom magas u muskul vienzu emun of iyadiyo. There is no question that in this world, the presence of God in this world is something that we can deduce. It is knowledge. It is factual. It's staring us in the eye. But God exists way beyond this world. And if we are speaking about God in his existence and in his essence outside our world, there is no logic. Because logic is a product of this world and we are constrained by this world of space and time. But the idea that there is a God outside the world of space and time, we cannot even logically conceive of it. So where our Yediyah ends, our Emunah is. The Yediyah is the appreciation of our Kodesh Baruch Hu as he is seen through his works in this world. Emunah is that I have faith that there is an essence of our Kodesh Baruch Hu way beyond this world of space and time, for which the human brain has no hassle whatsoever. And to appreciate that Kodesh Baruch Hu in those realms is totally beyond our mental ability, and it is there that we have to utilize. Because the world in which we find ourselves is a world in which that Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, contracted his essence to allow the world to exist, but that Kodesh Baruch Hu exists long before the world was created and longer. And the Chaim went on to explain, that the man's seichel is limited by time and space. And what is beyond time and space, as we have no concept. And God in his essence is in fact beyond time and space, Sha'ain Shom Makom, the state of others.
And where God is and exists in his essence, where he exists beyond our world, there we have no hasodah. All khalaw Allah khairus wa'ala. That's where the iman is. And a very special. The reconciliation, first of all, the Rambam, that there is Yazidah and there is a Luna, both. We are duty bound to prove to ourselves logically that it is a Kodesh world with the world. And where our logic ends, where our rational faculties cease because of our human limitations, then we have to have faith that beyond anything that we could possibly imagine, a Kodesh world would. Now, what Mechayim does with this is very special. The Gemara says in Brachos, I'm just going to say it over and up a little piece. The Gemara says in Brachos, that a person, when he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he has to delay on the word Echad in order to establish in his mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God, the Malach, the Maka, Uladazu, above, below, and in the corner. So the Chayim asks, why should the individuals acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supremacy by delaying on the word Echad? He should delay on the word Hashem Elokeinu. Why not say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu? And when you're saying Hashem Elokeinu, have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king above and below and in the four corners of the world. Says Chaim, the answer is, because the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu is connected to the Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu, that we acknowledge God. Echad, says Reb Chaim, is connected lo yihyeh lecho alehim achirim alchon. The words Hashem Elokeinu describe God in his essence. God in his essence is not bounded by direction. God in his essence is not a function of a world of space and time. Therefore, to say Hashem Elokeinu, and Paul to say, yes, Hashem Elokeinu is God, as far as the eye can see, that's not recourses. Because that's what the Father who is beyond this world. In his essence, he exists beyond space and time. So I can't wait and say to, and when I'm saying Hashem Elokeinu, to meditate on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and below in the four directions, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is way beyond, in his essence, way beyond the world of space. When I'm saying Echad, I'm saying I am not going to fashion another God. I'm going to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only God. If a human being comes to fashion a God, the only way he can fashion a God is a product of the world in which he lives. I couldn't improvise Chasveshon, another deity, except on the basis of my senses, which are a product of this world, of space and time. So when I acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, and I say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique, wherever we are, whatever the situation, that is quite sufficient. Because the only way I could have possibly even tried to make another God would be in the basis of a world of space and time. Something to measure. What I'd like to do now is to come back to an old friend and seems to be a very beautiful way to end our outing. We have a little bit of Shutashal Mikra, we have a little bit of Drush, but very seldom do we have Hamalet. It doesn't seem to be the appropriate object. I have Xerox two pieces from Rabbi Yosef Nechemia Kornister, but I'm not going to read them out. I just want you to have them. And you'll see why in a moment. Says Rabbi Yosef Nechemia Kornister, Lo sa'aseh lecho kesel kol tenuno, asher v'ashomai imimal, v'asher v'oretz mitah. Which we usually translate as, do not make for yourself a graven image, which is in the heavens above, and which is in the earth below. Says the Yosef Nechemia Kornister, I believe that this prohibition is addressing itself to another matter. People have a tendency to imitate other people. You ask them why they're doing it, Jenna does it, so I do it. But they call the philosophy of the herd.
Don't make yourself into a graven image of somebody. Don't make yourself into a graven image. Or don't make somebody else a graven image to be worshipped by you. Don't imitate emulate. We're not going to love. You know what you should do in life? Observe as for mine. When it comes to heavenly matters, be mild. Always look at the people who keep more than you do and the people who know more than you do. Observe all it. And when it comes to material matters, get up. Look at the people only who have met. That's genius.
Don't set out to be a cheap imitation of somebody else. Imitations are always cheap.
And it's an expensive that you can do it.
Don't set out to be an imitation of somebody.
The black hat, if he wears a black hat, I get only four happy things.
Okay. I care about your mind, me mal. The ain't so easy, but it comes to heavenly matters, me mal. Look at the people who know more, who keep more.
And when it comes to material possessions, we talk. Look at the people who have less. I think it is very special. As I say, I think it's something that somebody should, you know, with all the other things are framing, you might frame this one too.
Then he suggests something else. These are two little sections which are taken from his voluminous commentary on Western. Translated usually as, teach them to your children and speak about them when you sit in your house and when you go by the way. Says the Yates that hang your cornets.
Don't blush when you hear a thing of this nature.
Every parent has a duty to educate his or her child. How do you do that?
First of all, Jiddy Barkavon, the bartailor at the table, the bartailor buying the Yiddish award.
Jiddy Barkavon, you speak about Tova to your children. Says the Yates of Nehemia Cornet, sir. But you also teach your children to shift the other way, sir, by how you sit at home. You give me a glass owner, and you're glued to the box all night. And the shul of comes, I'm not able. To shift the other way, sir. By the way you sit in your house, you are educating your child. What does he see you doing? How does he see you speaking to your life partner? Does he hear recrimination and confrontation all the time? Is that education? Will he want to get married? To shift the Chabad Vesecha, you teach your child not only by speaking Torah, but to shift the Chabad Vesecha the way you sit at home. Umalech the Chabadera, and you also teach him by where you go. Places that you go, you think he doesn't know? Today there's no secrets. No secrets from anyone. So you educate your children to be Bart Obon by teaching them verbally, and you educate your children by example. Shift the Chavaleisa. How will you sit at home? We left the Chavaleisa where you go and what you eat, where you go, and what you shouldn't be eating and where you shouldn't be going. This is a classic. And only remains for me to say that we add to this the Hasidic thought of a shinantum levanech, if you teach your children properly, with the heart of them, then you want to speak about your children. I meet many people, where is your son? Oh, a PhD from Oxford, it's not from Cambridge or both. Where is he living now? Oh, how are you? So, the conversation has veered onto something completely different. If you want to be able to speak about your children in future life, with the bark of Vishinanta, whatever you teach them, then with the bark of them to be able to speak of it. So here we come across a number of themes in the Shema, in the Aseret HaDibros. I'd just like to mention that it has come to my attention, it didn't take a tremendous amount of mental agility, to discover that because of the way the Shiurim are timed, we are destined over the next few years to miss out Parshas Bereishis, which seems to me
a little unfair, so to plead on behalf of Party Parade. So what we have decided we will do is as follows. There is, and it seems an appropriate time, there is a Monday in the Aseret Yemei Shuvah. It's the Monday night before Kalidra night, which is Tuesday, the 16th of September. So Mirta Hashem, we are going to convene for that Monday evening only, when we will be studying some themes, some faith, some partial creation. And then, of course, we will be leaving over our main season until the Monday after Sukkot. So Mirta Hashem, night of the night of Tishrei, we will be convening with Hashem to have a look at Parshas Bereishit.
I think it was a wise man that once said that life can only be understood backward, but must be lived forward. And I think the insight and meaning which you, Rabbi Bernstein, have given to the Parshat Shavuah enables us to better understand the familiar and also the not so familiar parts that we may think that we have learned in the past. I know I'm speaking for everybody when I say that the new insight and thought which you provide us with give us many lessons and ideas which provide us food for thought in planning and living our lives ahead. Once again, we've come to the end of the term, and we thought it only right that as a small token of appreciation for all your efforts, we ask you to accept this gift, which comes with the very good wishes of all the members of your year, who of course are eagerly awaiting the commencement of the new term.